from CBS News Bay Area. This is the Afternoon Edition.
Right now on the Afternoon Edition, communities mark the start of Pride Month, standing in solidarity with the LGBTQIA+ community. Good afternoon. I'm Elizabeth Cook.
And I'm Ryan Yamamoto. Cities around the Bay kicking off Pride Month with flag raisings this morning. You can see celebrations happening on the peninsula in Redwood City, Daly City, and in Belmont, where the mayor there says it's all about becoming welcoming and showing support in the most public way possible.
I'm excited that we're going to be doing this. I'm proud of our community for the kind of celebrations that we have, the inclusive and diverse community that we are. And I'm just very proud and supportive of our LGBTQ plus community as well here in Belmont.
And on the morning edition, the city of Sausalito gave us an inside scoop of what they got lined up for this year's Pride.
The Sausalito Center for the Arts is presenting Pride, Not Prejudice. It's a multi-exhibit exhibition and celebration of Pride. There's also Jazz by the Bay, which is a weekly event in Sausalito that will be dedicated to Pride Month.
And a number of Bay Area city government, school systems, sports teams, and corporations all taking to social media, showing their support for the start of Pride Month, tweeting to the LGBTQIA+ community.
But not everyone is on board for the celebration of Pride. Each year, a new controversy about representation and people dodging support for fear of backlash. California has seen its fair share of these battles. In Solano County, the city of Vacaville came under scrutiny for its delay recognizing Pride Month with the Solano Pride Center. The city has issued a proclamation recognizing Pride Month since 2018. And then there was the back and forth in baseball between the Dodgers and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. The charity group was first removed from the Dodgers Pride Night celebration over opponents' claims that they mock the Catholic faith. The team re-invited the group to be recognized later on this month. And while all of this is happening here, the national debate over drag performances is now spilling over into the military. The Pentagon forced Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada to cancel the drag event scheduled for today. That show was supposed to recognize the importance of the LGBTQ plus service members. But a Pentagon spokesperson told CNN drag shows are not an appropriate use of U.S. military bases, despite the previous two drag shows being held there. No word on if the event will be moved to a different location.
Now, as we say goodbye to AAPI Month and welcome Pride Month, I had a chance to hang out with a drag troupe who represents both worlds. The Rice Rockettes began performing as a group in 2009 at a time when there were only a handful of Asian Americans performing in drag. Today, they book events year-round, but with the recent rise in anti-drag sentiment, including an attack on one of their own, they are extremely aware and cautious about when and who they perform for. I'll have their story through the eyes of the founder of the Rice Rockettes, Estee Longa, coming up at 5 p.m. Yes. And coming up at 3 o'clock, we're talking live with the president of San Francisco Pride about this year's celebration and the big events leading up to the parade.
All right, let's switch gears here for a moment and take a look at our weather. Meteorologist Darren Peck, first weekend of Pride Month, and looks like it's actually going to be perfect out there, just gorgeous.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And we're going to use one of the locations in San Francisco in the Mission, that's Dolores Park. And we're looking down at Dolores Park from our camera on top of the Salesforce Tower. We can use this thing not only to see far and wide, but also to look down and get a nice close-up view. You can actually see Mission High in there on the edge of the screen, or you could a moment ago. All right, let's take a look at how it feels out there. Number right now, 60 degrees. That's San Francisco. What's going to happen this weekend for this first weekend in Pride Month? You're not going to change a whole lot. So you can take the weather that you've got today and repeat it all the way through Saturday and Sunday, because in the city, no change. If you're inland, there's a change. That's a live look from Mount Diablo looking out at Concord. It's already 70 there, but if we look at what happens over the next 4 days here, a noticeable warm up for inland locations. You go in the mid 80s by the time we get to Saturday and Sunday. So we're in that kind of pattern where the warm up does not affect the Bay Area equally. That summer, I'll show you everybody's numbers coming up in a bit. For now, guys, back to you.
All right, Darren, thanks so much. Time now for a look at this afternoon's top stories. In San Francisco, the man accused of stabbing a Chinatown bakery employee is in court today. 61-year-old Phuc Poi Lai is facing charges of attempted murder, assault with a deadly weapon, and battery. The suspect had been out on parole for an attempted murder in 2016. San Francisco DA Brooke Jenkins asked the court to keep him in custody, saying he poses a threat to public safety. Alameda County DA Pamela Price dropped 2 out of 3 murder charges against Alonzo Logwood. His case made headlines when Price offered a 15-year plea deal in exchange for pleading guilty to one of the murders. Price said the case was tangled up by her predecessor and says the former DA filed too many charges. Logwood has already served 14 years, and attorneys on both sides are back in court today hashing it all out.
And let's take a live look at Wall Street right now. And the big board, as you can see, it is now in positive territory, looking really good this morning at 253 points in the plus side. And taking a live look right now at D.C., where the Senate is now taking up the compromise bill to raise the debt ceiling and avoid a catastrophic default. The House overwhelmingly passed the measure last night, but there are some grumblings in the Senate. Natalie Brand is live with the very latest. Natalie.
Hi, Ryan. Well, it's similar to what we saw in the House, where not everyone is happy about the bill. For instance, last night, Bay Area Democrats were divided and voted in a 3-3 split. Now, in the Senate, there's still a lot of negotiating happening behind the scenes. Some lawmakers want to be able to debate and take up amendments, which could slow down the process a bit. But some senators are now saying that they're feeling hopeful that we could see a vote as early as tonight.
Facing a deadline days away, Senate leaders want to act fast.
The Senate will stay in session until we send a bill avoiding default to the president's desk, and we will keep working until the job is done.
The bill is passed.
The legislation to raise the debt ceiling overwhelmingly passed the House last night with ample bipartisan support, ending days of tense negotiations.
Tonight, we all made history, because this is the biggest cut and savings this Congress has ever voted for.
The Fiscal Responsibility Act lifts the debt limit through early 2025, giving the U.S. more borrowing power to pay its bills. But it cuts federal spending in return, clawing back unused COVID relief money and IRS funding, loosening environmental rules for new projects, and placing stricter work requirements for some receiving food assistance.
Just like in the House, some conservative Republicans and progressive Democrats in the Senate oppose the bill.
There's no way I can pass this much debt onto my grandchildren.
Among the senators coming out against it are South Carolina's Tim Scott, who's running for president, and Vermont's Bernie Sanders.
The American people, in my view, are sick and tired of seeing deficit reduction come on the backs of working people who are struggling.
While some senators are pushing for amendments, leaders are hoping for a final vote before the week's end.
Some Republican senators have expressed concerns about the limits to defense spending. Senator Lindsey Graham, for instance, is trying to get a commitment from leaders to take up a separate bill that would increase funding for Ukraine sometime down the road. So again, a lot is still happening behind the scenes while senators try to work out an agreement on how quickly they can get this done. As for California's senators, I continue to reach out to their offices, but so far they have not commented on the bill itself or how they will vote. Ryan.
All right. Thank you. Natalie Brand reporting live from our nation's capital.